are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 to 20 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about what went down yesterday. The Giants behind Johnny Cueto fell to the Rockies 7-2. It was a game they really wanted to win. I'm not going to say needed to win. Everybody else pretty much in the wild card race in the National League lost last night, with the exception being that one game between the Reds and the Brewers. Both teams the Giants are chasing, somebody had to win, and the Reds won. But everybody else in this race lost. So it became a real opportunity for the Giants, if they could win, to put themselves in a really good position. But win they did not, and now they find themselves in an even worse position than they were in entering yesterday. But because of all those other losses, they're still not in a terrible position. So we'll break it all down and preview what's to come on today's show. First, a little bit about me. I've been an off and on contributor for the baseball analysis sites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I started a Giants podcast called Covecast in 2015 and then joined the Locked On Podcast Network prior to the 2019 season. I'm also a lifelong diehard Giants fan. And so this one was tough, and it was not a good start for Johnny Cueto. It was actually the most runs he's allowed in his Giants career. Ended up allowing 7 earned runs over 4 1/3. Allowed a home run to Kevin Pillar, allowed 2 runs in the first, 1 in the 3rd, 1 in the 4th, 3 in the 5th. So just an awful start, really. And on the other side, Germán Márquez pitched extremely well, went 6 innings, allowed 1 run, and scattered 5 hits. Prior to the game, Justin Smoak was designated for assignment and Alex Dickerson was activated off the paternity list. So Dickerson and his wife had a son, so congratulations to them. Dickerson barely missed any time, was inserted right into the leadoff spot, went 3-for-4, including a double and a home run. He was really one of the lone bright spots on the night. Only he, Belt, and Solano even had hits in this game. So just a total clunker for the Giants, and it made their playoff odds fall down to, according to Fangraphs, 35.7%. They entered yesterday at around 44%. So a little less than a 10-point drop, but it could have been a lot worse because the Cardinals lost, the Brewers lost, the Marlins lost, and the Phillies lost, and the Mets lost. So as good as the Giants could have hoped for from their opponents yesterday, somebody had to win in that Reds-Brewers series, and it was the Reds. So now the Reds are in really good position. They're just barely behind the Cardinals for second place in the division. Cardinals lost to the Royals, so that was surprising. But, you know, moving forward, I would expect the Cardinals to probably win against the Royals tonight. And the reason that matters is basically the Giants want whoever's not in second place in the National League Central and the National League East to lose, and whoever's in second place to win if they're playing a team who's not in second place. Hopefully that makes sense. It's still really complicated. By the end, in the last couple days, it should become more clear, but at this point in time, it's still extremely messy. The Phillies lost to the Nationals, so that was big, and they have a doubleheader today. So the result of the Phillies games is probably the most significant for the Giants at this point, especially because they play a doubleheader. The Phillies currently hold that number 8 spot, and the Cincinnati Reds are holding the number 7 spot. But so if the Phillies can somehow lose both of their games in this doubleheader today with the Nationals, they would become 27 and 29, and the Giants are 26 and 27. So that would give the Giants an opportunity with a win to move into that number eight spot if the Brewers also lose. So it's extremely complicated. I do apologize. This is a daily exercise. But what that would mean would be the Giants and the Brewers would be 27 and 27. Phillies would be 27 and 29. And the Giants would lose that tie with the Brewers because they have a worse record in their own division, which was not helped by losing to the Rockies yesterday. If the Phillies win both of their games in the doubleheader, they could potentially move ahead of the Marlins if the Marlins lose, and then the Giants would be chasing the Marlins instead. And if the Marlins lose, the Marlins would be just one game over 500, and the Giants with a win would be at 500. So they would still be half a game behind the Marlins there. If the Phillies split, they're at 28 and 28, and the best the Giants could do with a win is also be 500 at 27 and 27. So they would potentially be tied, but they would lose that tiebreaker. So the best thing that can happen, based on what I'm seeing here, is the Phillies would lose both games of their doubleheader. That would be the best scenario for the Giants, and then the Reds would beat the Brewers in this game tonight. And then, of course, the Giants have to win. To me, I mean, I think the Giants have to split this series at the very least. If they lose 3 out of 4, I think they're done. But I guess they don't have to win tonight if I'm saying they need to split. If they lose tonight, then they need to win the next 2 games. But if you win tonight, that's just a much better position to be in, because then you need to just win 1 of the next 2 to split, and you have the potential to win them both and then win 3 out of 4 in the series. So it's all come down to this. It is certainly the home stretch. The Giants have just 7 games remaining. Some teams have a lot fewer than that. The Reds only have 5 games remaining. I guess that's not that much less. But the Phillies, after this doubleheader tonight, will only have 4 games remaining. So a lot still to be determined. As I said, the Giants' playoff odds are at 35.7%, according to FanGraphs. I would say that if they lose tonight, and if some of these other teams win, like the Phillies, they could see their playoff odds fall way down to like the low 20s, potentially, or even lower. One more thing I want to say about this is that if the Phillies do win, let's say they win both of their games, then suddenly the Giants are really rooting for the Reds to lose. But if the Phillies lose, then the Giants want the Reds to win. So I understand if this is too complex, but every day we will provide these updates. MLB.com does not do a great job of kind of showing you games back and all the different scenarios. So if you're looking for that analysis, I will provide it every single day. But just getting back to the game and then previewing this upcoming game for the Giants tonight and then the rest of the season, the Rockies certainly made me eat my words, because I said they're one of the worst offensive teams in baseball. You've got to take care of this offense. They have no threats outside of Trevor Story. But up and down the lineup last night, they really hurt the Giants. They had 9 hits, 4 walks. Up and down the lineup, everybody had a hit except Trevor Story and Raimel Tapia. So it's really been a disappointing year for Cueto. He now has a 5.53 ERA. He's had some good starts on the season, but ultimately it has not been a good year for Johnny Cueto, and that's disappointing. And they have to pay him $22 million next year, with a buyout on the next year after that. So anyway, we'll talk more about Cueto at a later date, but I want to move ahead, preview tonight's game, and then look ahead to the rest of the season and what's going to transpire. So that's all coming up next. But first, I want to talk about Indeed. Can the Guinness Book of World Records give 2020 world's greatest delay of game? Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use on more important things like the mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Random example, a fuel pump assembly for a 2005 to 2010 Honda Odyssey costs $353.99 at Advance, which is a big chain store, and $216.79 at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. Best of all, RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, as promised here in the second half of the show, I want to preview tonight's game and talk about what to expect from the rest of the season from a pitching perspective and kind of looking at where the Giants stand pitching-wise, because down the stretch here, that's kind of become the problem. Their starting rotation has not been able to keep them in games and let the offense do its thing. It's certainly been the case with Cueto, who's allowed at least 6 runs in 3 of his last 5 starts. He did not have his best stuff, and he didn't have good command. Gabe Kapler kind of summarized it perfectly. He said that against a team like the Rockies, who are kind of free swingers up and down the lineup, if you're missing in the zone, they can punish you for that. That's really what was happening with Johnny. He was missing in the zone with all of his pitches, and with the lack of his best stuff, he wasn't missing bats today. That summarizes it perfectly, because if you're missing in the zone and you don't have your best stuff, they're going to punish bad pitches in the heart of the zone. If you have overpowering stuff, you might be able to get away with not having your best command, but he didn't have that. And if you don't have your best command, or if you do have your best command, you can tease these Rockies hitters, throw pitches in the dirt, and they're going to swing. And so that's why tonight's starter, Drew Smyly, I think has a really good chance to pitch well against the Rockies, because he has great stuff and he's commanded that curveball down in the zone. Like, the Rockies are a super aggressive team, so I would expect them tonight to have trouble laying off that curveball in the dirt that Smiley's been able to feature and dominate. He dominated the Padres in relief, and then he dominated the Mariners in a start. And so I really like this matchup with the Rockies. The fear is if Smiley isn't sharp and maybe doesn't have his best stuff and is missing in the zone also, then you could have problems. But if Smiley's able to be the Smiley we've seen so far this year, I really am optimistic that this could be a good night for the Giants. On the other side, Kyle Freeland will get the start for the Rockies. He's a lefty pitcher who's having a nice rebound season, but the Giants did get to him in his last start against them. I think this does benefit the Giants in a way, because currently they're very right-handed, and their right-handed lineup all season long has done much better than their other lineup. And so even like right now, because of the injury to Mike Yastrzemski, who still wasn't able to play last night, the Giants have a bunch of right-handed hitters in the lineup, even against a right-handed pitcher. So they're not able to utilize that platoon strategy as much as they would like right now. So they have, for example, Darren Ruff was starting at DH last night, batting fourth against a tough right-handed pitcher. Ended up going 0 for 5. Not a surprise when, you know, we see so much positive out of Ruff, but I think what a lot of people don't notice or recognize is that so much of that damage is coming against lefties. And if you play him every day and he has to face righties a bunch, you'd probably see much worse production. And so, small sample of one night, he goes 0 for 5 batting fourth and DHing. But against Freeland tonight, you get that good matchup for Ruff. And then the Giants also had in their lineup last night, of course, Longoria, who plays every day, Mauricio Dubon, who's been playing every day, Joey Bart, another righty, and Luis Basabe, who's a switch hitter. And Wilmer Flores did not start, but he did pinch hit. So given how they're shorthanded without Yastrzemski and without Slater being able to play in the field, I do wonder if we might see Dickerson in the lineup tonight, but I would expect Slater to probably be the DH, and then that potentially has Wilmer Flores in the lineup, but he can't DH, so where does he play? If he plays second, then you're not starting Solano, so maybe he plays first, and that means you're not starting Belt. That's not totally ideal either. I think in a perfect world, Slater is able to play in the field, so he can play in right, and then you're able to have Belt at first, and Flores can DH. So they're really being hurt right now by some injuries to Yastrzemski and Slater. And then Dickerson was hit in the elbow last night and seemed to be in a lot of pain, had x-rays that came back negative. But I wouldn't be surprised with a lefty on the mound if Dickerson is just not in the lineup tonight. Probably a candidate to pinch hit against a righty reliever, but wouldn't be surprised if he gets a day because of the elbow and the lefty on the mound. But anyway, Giants are better suited to face lefties at this point. And so it's a good thing that the Rockies have one going, even though Freeland is a pretty good pitcher. One other note about Joey Bart is that he wasn't even supposed to play yesterday. It was going to be Chadwick Tromp giving Bart that mental reset. So Tromp was supposed to be in the lineup, but was a late scratch because of he kind of jammed his surgically repaired shoulder diving back into first base on a pickoff throw in Sunday's game against the A's. And so he wasn't able to loosen up that shoulder before the game. So Joey Bart got the start despite his immense offensive struggles and the fact that he's kind of struggled defensively and has not worked well with Cueto. So we kind of saw more of the same. Very first pitch of the game, Joey Bart dropped the ball. It's like he has trouble just catching the baseball sometimes. I don't know what's going on with him with that, because all the scouting reports I read were raving about his defense, but we have just seen a little bit of, I don't know if he's just mentally overwhelmed right now and just can't focus because he's so in his head about his struggles that he's not even able to catch a ball sometimes. I mean, we take for granted how much movement and velocity these pitchers have. But at the same time, if you're a catcher at the major league level, you are expected to catch the ball. I mean, if it's in the strike zone, and we've seen a lot of Joey Bart just dropping pitches that are not, you know, he doesn't have to range far to either side or up or down to get to them. They're just like in the zone and he's dropping the ball. So don't know what's going on there. He once again, 0 for 3 with two strikeouts, just automatic kind of chase from Joey Bart. You just throw him a pitch out of the zone and he's gonna hack at it right now. So I don't know if this is my moment to say I told you so, but there were a lot of people who were really angry with the front office for not calling him up. We had Derek Rodriguez, who I guess maybe doesn't have a great career as a scout ahead of him, because D-Rod was saying, this guy is ready. He's a major league player. He's going to do great right now. Turns out he was wrong. Joey Bart, very clearly, like, it's easy to see why they thought he needed some more development. He's just a free swinger. He does not have good plate discipline right now. I honestly think Chadwick Tromp is probably a better bet to play down the stretch here. He's a really good defensive catcher, better than Bart right now, better at framing than Bart right now. Works better with the pitchers right now. and he's got some pop, especially against a left-handed pitcher. Chadwick Tromp has done some damage, and Joey Bart simply looks completely lost at the plate. So if Tromp is able to go tonight, I would expect him to be back in there with a lefty on the mound. I'm not hopeless on Joey Bart. I think that the best is certainly yet to come, and hopefully, you know, he just needs more reps. And if this was a normal year, they'd probably send him back down to the minors where he would get it together and get on a hot streak and get his confidence back, and then they'd bring him right back up. But as it is now, this is the only place for him to really develop, and they think this is going to be valuable for him, so he's here to stay for these last 7 games. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Remember to get this show every weekday. You need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow talking about tonight's huge game, breaking down the wild card race, what goes down in all these other games across baseball, and how it affects the Giants' postseason odds. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, and until then, we'll see you next time.